Lord has made for us to rejoice and to be glad in it. And I thank God that He woke us up for a purpose. So we are here today for a purpose, to rejoice in His name. And as we stand together, we shall praise the Lord with our voices. Even if you tamp your feet or wave your hand, that's good unto Him. Let's go. Our first song. Great and mighty is the Lord our God.
Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up the banner, let the echoes ring. Praises to His name. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up the banner, let the echoes ring. Praises to His name. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up the banners, let the echoes ring. Praises to His name. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He.
Yes, our God is great. You know, as we are praising the Lord, we can just lift our voices also unto Him, and just to show how much you love Him. What I'm trying to say is that not after every song, but as we sang, we can just say, Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I praise You. Lord, I worship You. Lord, I love You. I adore You. And that is from Your heart and my heart. We can continue our second song. God is good all the time.
God is good all the time. He put the song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He put the song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. If you walk through the valley and the shadows all around, do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. With His Holy Spirit, we can stand and testify. testify that His love is everlasting and His mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. Put the song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans You have for me, my life is in Your hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see. God is good all the time. He put the song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time.
Okay, yes, God is good. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we want to worship You. We want to lift Your name on high. We want to exalt You, my God, for You are our God. You are the great and mighty God. We sing of You this morning. We lift You up this morning, for You are alive and alive forevermore. We want to thank You, Lord, that we can come to You through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, thank You for a good night's rest. You brought us into a brand new day. Thank You for the very breath and strength. Thank You that You brought us together, Lord, to come and sit at Your feet, to come and hear what You have to say to us as individuals. Lord, thank You for touching our lives. Thank You, Lord, for being here, because You say You'll never leave us nor forsake us. You're so good, Lord. You love us so much, O God. Come, Lord, and have Your way. Be glorified in our midst, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. I just want to give the notices while you are relaxing. Okay, on Wednesday, they're going to be the last Wednesday. It's going to be Leon and Judy's wedding anniversary. Oh, it was wrong reading. It was last week. So, okay, it's not bad. They are here, so let's give the Lord a hand. Let's thank God for them. God kept them. Yes. Blessed anniversary. 49 years is not joking. Okay. Okay. After that rejoicing on Thursday evening, every Thursday, 6 o'clock, we gather here for prayer. I'm telling you, God is doing something. We must come in line now. It's time to pray. God is moving only not through, you know, us, by His Spirit, through us. Yes. We need somebody with computer knowledge to please speak to Moira about the office computer. And Elmo will do the intercessory prayer. Amen. Okay. Our next song we can sing together. Maris is rejoicing. As we look into ourselves, let the Holy Spirit move and work.
Purify my heart.
Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart.
Let me be as gold,
pure gold, refined as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for You, Lord. I choose to be. Set apart for You. me from within and make me holy, purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin, deep within, refine as fire.
My heart's one desire
is to be to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will.
Can we sing it again?
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be from within and make me holy, purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin, deep within, refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will.
You may be seated. I'm leaving this moment open. Is there anybody that wants to just share what the Lord has done? Any good news that you have unto the Lord.
Good morning to you all.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, I just want to encourage my brethren this morning about the living God we serve. Let us be patient. Let us be still. Because it's God. He's working on us. And in his time, not your time, not my time, in his time, he shall do whatever you've asked him to do for you, in his time. Something happened about 5 years ago in Soweto, Johannesburg, when this guy gave his life to Christ, about 22 years guy, from Mpumalanga, South African. He gave his life to Christ, and then he was just pushing the leaders of the church. He need job, he need job, he need job. So one day I told him, come to me, I'll make a CV for you. I'll make copies, I'll give you transportation. Go around and share it or distribute it. You'll get a job soon. And lo and behold, he got the job, and the salary was very attractive. And I think they pay in fortnight, in 2 weeks, they receive their salary or wages. And this guy received over 10,000 in 2 weeks, which he has never, ever had that money before. So what he did was, he failed to come to church on that particular day, Sunday. He went to the bottle shop, bought beer, crate of beer, went into his room, locked the door, just enjoyment. And because this guy was a baby Christian, he didn't know what to do with the money. He started abusing the money, abusing the beer, and he drank without eating. So the following day, they knocked at his door. This guy was not responding. So they broke into the room. This guy was lying down, dead. Just dead, like that. And in fact, I regretted because we were trying to ensure we prepare this guy to mature before any blessing comes. But how he put pressure on us, even if he doesn't get the job, he will stop the church, etc., etc. We know because he was new in Christ. He did not know what he was saying. So at times, God doesn't want his blessings to destroy you. He wants you to enjoy and benefit his blessing. So if he gives you blessing and you have not prepared to receive that blessing, what happens is that the blessings destroys you. So we have to ensure that, or God have to ensure that, the leaders of the church, any church, prepares you towards the blessings ahead of you. Because anytime you come to Christ, there is blessings which follows you. But you must prepare and mature for that blessing. So please be patient. If you are not well and you think God has forgotten about you, be patient. He wants it to be a testimony tomorrow. So he's preparing you before he will touch you, because he's Jehovah Rapha. May God bless you all. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today isn't a day for me to give a testimony about myself. Jesus. Or anybody else. My daughter has got a friend. See, things we don't know that is special to her, but we know. But last night, thugs came and they stabbed him. At this moment, we don't know how he is doing. But I just want to ask all of you, if you can please put Marlon Carolus in your prayers. Because they took him to Tigerberg Hospital. He was stabbed here in the neck and here and at the back. So we don't know how he is doing at this moment. But just the thought that he has been taken to Tigerberg Hospital tells me this is serious. So today I'm asking you as my family and my members to please put him in your thoughts, your heart, and your prayers, because he's still very young. He's only 17 years old.
Let's pray together. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and stand together with my sister Lachelle.
Yes.
We bring Mario Carolus to you, Lord.
Jesus.
We ask you to be merciful to him, oh God.
Yes.
We ask you, God, give the doctors wisdom, grace and guidance, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We commit her daughter to you. We commit the family to you. We ask, Father, that they will turn to you and put their trust in you, because you are faithful, and that out of this will come a testimony for your glory, for your honor and your strength, because you are good, you are faithful, you are mighty. In Jesus' name.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not missing this day was a testimony.
Good morning, everybody. You know all the floods in the Eastern Cape. One day there was a guy sitting on his stoop, and he saw the water rise. And his whole stoop is underwater. And there's a guy in a rowboat passing him. He said, "Sir, get into my rowboat. I can take you off." He said, No, Jesus will provide." So the guy with the rowing boat went on. And the water was rising, and he got on top of his house. He's sitting on his roof. And the rescue people come with their motorized boat, and they said, "Get on here, you will save you." He said, No, God will provide." And they went off. And eventually the guy died, and he got into heaven, and he asked, Lord, why didn't you provide?" They said, I sent you a guy in a rowboat, you didn't want it. I sent you a guy in a motorboat, you didn't want it. So that is happening to us sometimes. God provide, and we say no. We can cope on ourselves. And I want to share with you a story. A few years ago, my wife became very ill, and she landed up in hospital. She stayed there for about 3 months. She was really ill. And I was at home coping with my grandkids, running the house. And then the people from the congregation and other people asked me, Andre, are you well? And I said, no, God provide. God will serve me. And I'm too proud to accept help from other people. And later on, it dawned me that as of me, God gives us other people opportunities to bless us, and then we are too proud and we push that blessing away. And I think it is, we mustn't be that proud. We must allow other people to bless us. And that's just my thought for this. We must be humble. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. We must be humble enough to accept the grace of God. There's another saying, cowboys don't cry, but I think Christians can cry. They can be humble, accept grace from other people. Thank you.
But it's better than I can look you straight in the eye. Okay. Last year, this time, June, 16 June was Youth Day. And not all know about it. I had a fall. And I broke my wrist. So I ended up in hospital only one night. I resisted that, but, you know, because I don't want, but I had to. So I stayed over. 4 hard plasters I had. But, you know, that very moment when I fell, the Lord gave me a word. Be still and know that I am God. I kept it. Overnight, the next morning, they told the night before, the nurse said, we're going to see, you must go for x-ray, so they will tell if I must stay or I can go home. The next morning, the Lord woke me up with a song. It's in Afrikaans. Ek wil die Here loof. Ek wil die Here prys. In die onder die volk, I want to praise the Lord in the midst of the congregation. You know, I was so excited and I came home. And you know, gradually I was obedient from the whole month of June till August. I've been laying straight on my back because the plaster was on this side. I just had to lay like that. But the healing took place. And here I'm standing this morning. I can use my hand before already because he showed me dreams how I do washing the kitchen and everything. Here I'm healed in Jesus' name. They still need, like, you know, some working in this part. But the Lord offered a physio for me as well on the house. So I thank God that he's still in the business. But my encouragement to all of us is that we must not hold back. Like the Bible says, we must be bold. We must be strong. We must be courageous. You know, it's not when you sit there or me sit there. No, we need to rise up because somebody is hurt there. Somebody needs to hear something, what had happened. Because God wants to use you and me. That's why David wasn't shy. So we must not be shy too. If we will do it here on earth, he will be shy in heaven. So let us testify of what the Lord has done. Not the doctor. Yes, he's there. But what the Lord has done. We need to be encouraged through our lives as testimonies. Amen. And you know, it is the love of God, and therefore our next song, we're going to sing about the power of love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You can stand together.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away. By the power of your love, hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me to your side, and as I wait, rise up like an eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes, let me see you face to face, the knowledge of your love as you love in me. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in loving every day. By the power of your love, spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Can we sing the chorus again? Oh, hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me to your side, and rise up like an eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for the power of your love, Lord. Thank you that you surround us with your love, Lord. Oh God, it is your love that we need, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you. We love you. We adore you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. We're going to take up the collection now.
Your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by
surprise you what the Lord has done. Come on now. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. For the last time, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Fingers don't want to open the pages, they're cold. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts, seeking your divine presence to envelop this gathering. As we assemble in your name, we earnestly desire the movement of your Spirit among us, preparing our hearts and minds for worship. We are comforted by your by the promise you made in Matthew 18 verse 20. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them.
Yes.
May your presence guide us, renew us, and draw us close to you. Transform the space into a sacred sanctuary where we can truly encounter your holiness. Let your Spirit fill every aspect of this service, filling it with grace and reverence. Amen.
Amen. Elmo will do the intercession now.
Good morning, everyone, for the second time. You should never look at an intercessory date list on when you should do the intercessory too much, because then you forget to look at it the next time. So this will be off the cuff. Let's pray. Lord, you've heard about Mario. You've heard about Andre's story. You've heard all these things that were said in front of the congregation today, publicly. Also, I just want to lay those things at your feet. I pray for healing. I pray for your provision. I pray for your guidance. I pray that you will stand next to us, will sometimes carry us when we need it, that you will keep us on the thin and narrow path. You will give us the strength and the courage to do your work, to not be afraid. Rak Shazakamat. Be strong and courageous. If there's anything that the Lord has laid on your heart, or anything that's on your mind bothering you, just lift it up now. Lord, you've heard these meditations of our hearts, the thoughts of our minds, and I ask that you will give an ear to us, or lift your face to us, you will shine your countenance on us, and that you will give us peace. We give you love and grace and mercy every day. Lord, we pray for Christopher on this trip. We pray for everyone in this town who needs you. Lord, and we come against the spirit of violence, the spirit of drugs, and not only in this town, but also in this whole country, in the world, Lord, where other people's lives are worth less than nothing. Lord, and life is a good thing, but it can be used for bad. The same is said with anything. Lord, we pray that you will guard our hearts and our minds in such a way that we will use the provisions that you have given us, whether it's a rock or a knife or whatever, that we will use it for the purposes of your kingdom. So today we set this church as a home for people who need a home. And I pray that you will bring people into this congregation, and that they will feel at home here, that they will find a spiritual home, and that they will be part of the cause, your cause. People who are willing to do their part in the congregation. Because you said, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. And that is what we're doing, but we need community. Amen. Something. Just on a very personal note, if everything goes well, my wife will become a grandmother on Wednesday or Thursday. Yes. So please just so please keep my daughter in our daughter. No. So keep our daughter in your present thoughts. She would have been here, but she's very sore today. So and she has to keep that little terrorist busy as well. So I don't know how much rest she's going to get. So please just keep the whole family in prayers. Thank you.
God is good. It's wonderful to belong to the family of God. We can share and we can be there for each other. Before I share the message this morning, I'm just going to give some announcements that are for me that I need to share. Christopher, at the moment, he's on a mission. He is safe in Tanzania. So thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray. So he's left Zambia. He's in Tanzania. Apologies from Clement. Clement had to go to work. He had to drive to Rottersveld. Stella's not feeling well. And we also know Margaret is in hospital. Also continue to pray for her. Our brother Gordon and his wife Noli and Joel, they used to be part of our congregation. And I met her a week ago when I went with Stella to the hospital by divine appointment, that she was also having tests done. So they're not able to be with us, but they send their greetings. They have their fellowship at a church near them because of transport and family situations. So yes, they miss us dearly, Gordon and Joel. Gordon and Noli and Joel, sorry. Now, we've asked you guys if anyone's interested in becoming a member. We have received forms. There's somebody at the back there. Somebody walked out at the back. Just go and check Elmo. They walked in and they walked out. So we've asked you to fill in forms. We have received the forms. If anybody else is interested in becoming a member, there's a form just for you to fill in. It doesn't say you're going to be a member, but you're interested. Okay, so you're interested. So on Sunday, the 5th of July, after this worship service, we will gather here and we will have an orientation. So basically, the orientation will tell you more or less what we're about and what is expected from you, you know, that type of thing. So we look forward to that. We look forward to welcoming you. You prepare yourself with your questions if you have questions to ask. Please prepare yourself. And our Sunday, our worship services are on the website. So if you look up under St. George's Presbyterian Church on the website, you can listen to the service or you can re-listen to the service, which is quite helpful at any time. So that's the announcements before we look at the word. So the forms are here if anybody's interested. I'm going to try and not speak too fast. I'm going to try my best. Just help me. Give me a flag. Yeah. So this morning, before I start the message, time has gone already. It's 10:15. It looks like I'll have to start this message and continue it at another time. The theme of the message is God's faithfulness to his covenant promises. And because God is faithful, God calls us, God invites us to enter into that faithfulness with him. You see, what I'll try and do, but I won't get through the whole message this morning, is that we're going to trace a golden thread through Scripture. The golden thread runs through from Ezekiel 36, and then we see in John 7, where Jesus invites us, and then we see in Acts where the Holy Spirit is actually poured out. Now, the golden thread is God is a God of covenant. What is a covenant? A covenant is very important. It's not just an agreement. A biblical covenant expresses God's gracious promises and defines his relationship with his people. It's his gracious promises. He does most of the things. It includes his faithfulness and our responsibilities. How are we going to respond to him? It is Almighty God's unbreakable commitment. It's not like a human contract where you benefit, I benefit, little, you know, each side. There's so much from God's side. There's so little from us. This covenant, God's covenant, is grounded in his faithful love and fulfilled in Christ. And it is empowered by the Spirit. So God, when God makes a covenant, he makes a promise, there's so much more from his side. All we have to do is respond. And once God has said it, he will do it. We need to just believe it. We need to declare it and claim it as our own. We can't do it. He's going to do it. We need to believe it. Now, what you're going to see is a promise was made, and the promise was kept, and the promise was poured out. So what can we learn from God's faithfulness? If God said it, I need to believe it. I may not feel it. I may not see it now, but I need to just believe it and declare it. Let's read Ezekiel 36 from verse 25 to 27. We sang Purify My Heart and a few other songs. I'm going to read from my version. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to follow my rules. Ezekiel 36 is not just a prophecy. It is a covenant declaration. This covenant is also quoted in Jeremiah, and Jeremiah even has more on it. God promises to act, not because of us, not because of Israel's performance was poor. It's because of his covenant, faithfulness, and love. The same thing applies for you and I. God promises, and he will work in our lives because he is faithful, because he is true. We are unfaithful. We fail. But because he loves us, he will do it. You know, the children of Israel, in the context, they were worshipping idols. They were behaving unlike God's people. They were about to face, Jerusalem was going to be invaded. But God tells the prophet, that they're going to face judgment. That sin has to be dealt with. They were going to face wrath. But despite that, God says, in a time in the future, he is going to give them, cleanse these people from the impurities. He's going to give them a new heart. He's going to put this new spirit in them. And he's going to place his spirit in us. Now, we all know that, as I said in this message, I'll have to continue next time, but I'm going to continue what I've got here. The heart is the control center of our desires, our will, our loyalty. If a heart is stony, it means that heart is unresponsive. That heart is resistant. That heart is spiritually dead. It cannot respond to God. But a heart of flesh, God takes the hard heart, that stony heart, he takes it completely out. He does an operation, a spiritual operation, takes it out, and he puts a heart that is alive in us, a heart that is soft, a heart that is teachable, a heart that is responsive to God. This is regeneration. God replaces what is dead, and he puts something that's alive in us. And this is what he was promising the children of Israel, and he promises us. And the renewed spirit, new desires, new motivations, new affections. Your interests and desires are reorientated towards God. It's inside of you. It's not outside. It's not in your head. It's inside of you. It's inside of me. And when God says he places his spirit, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in our spirit. And the indwelling Holy Spirit gives us power to obey, a desire to obey, and the ability to obey. God's promise is not beside us, but within us. That power is inside. So what is God saying in Ezekiel? God is saying, I will keep my covenant. Not you. I will keep my covenant. I will restore my people. I will change them from inside out. And we can stand on that. Thank you, God, that you will change us. Thank you, God, that you will do that. Jesus Christ, now we've seen that part. There's a covenant that was made. Now, who's the covenant keeper? Jesus Christ is the covenant keeper. The covenant couldn't have been fulfilled until sin was dealt with, until death was defeated, until the curse was broken. And that is exactly what Jesus does. Through his death, Jesus provides the cleansing that Ezekiel promised. His resurrection, he inaugurates a new creation. New things are born inside of us. It's not outside, it's inside. Through his ascension and his glorification, he receives the promised spirit from the Father, and that is poured out. Jesus is also the mediator. We also call him the mediator of the covenant, because he is the one through whom God keeps every promise. Jesus is also the surety of the covenant. You know, when you go and apply for an account or make some debt, and you don't have enough surety, somebody has to stand for you as surety. And if that person doesn't pay, you stand liable to pay. And so Jesus is our surety. He is standing liable on our behalf. On our behalf. And John 7 says that the Spirit would only be given after Jesus was glorified. The covenant must be the covenant had to be completed before the covenant gift was poured out upon us and released. Now the next point is the fulfillment of this covenant, which we spoken about a few weeks ago. We had a few sermons on it. Acts 2. Acts 2 is not a random spiritual event. It is the moment that God keeps his covenant promise through Jesus Christ. Peter explained Jesus has been exalted. That had to happen. Jesus had received the promise. Jesus is the one who pours out the Spirit. What God promised in Ezekiel, cleansing new hearts, new spirits, and his spirit within, became a reality on the day of Pentecost. And it's a reality for us as well. God made a covenant promise through Ezekiel 36. Jesus fulfilled it. And at Pentecost, the promised Holy Spirit was sent out. So we see that a promise was made, kept, and poured out. And that's God. That is God. He makes a promise, he keeps the promise, and he fulfills the promise. So we can stand on his faithfulness. We sang that. We're going to sing it another song as well about God's faithfulness. We can stand on it. Now you may be asking, what does this covenant promise mean for me? Let's read John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38. On the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. We see in this passage that Jesus offers himself as the source of God's life-giving water. He is claiming to be the fulfillment of the prophetic hope of the new covenant, as the scriptures have said. Today, the invitation stands for you and I. Jesus is calling. He says, come. Come with your thirst. If you are thirsty, come to me. And all we need to do is to come honestly, to come with humility, come in faith. I need your water. I need your spirit. And this is not something you do once off. It's a continuous thing that we need to come and drink, just as we need to eat and drink each day to sustain us, to satisfy us. We need to come and drink daily. We need to come and drink. If your heart feels heavy, if it feels dry, if it feels divided, there's a lot of things happening, it's all confused. You bring it to the one who gives you a new heart. Lay your heart before him. Lay yourself before him. And he gives you a new spirit. And if you're not thirsty, you can ask God to create that passion, that thirst in you. If not, you can take it further. Examine your heart. All of us need to examine our hearts from time to time. We need to look into our hearts. We need to repent and say, is there unbelief? I'm not believing all God's promises. Sometimes we choose this promise and we choose that promise. We choose this book and we choose that book. Or we're only looking at devotionals. We're not actually reading the word. We're not actually hearing what is God saying to us. So we pick and choose. We need to repent of unbelief, apathy, complacency. Unforgiveness is a major issue. Unforgiveness, resentment is a major issue, because we all in life, we engage with people all the time, with each other. And we all fail, you know, we are broken people. So people disappoint us, they hurt us, or don't meet up to our standards or expectations. So we have to practice forgiveness. We have to practice forgiveness, letting go. We can repent of any impurities in our lives or idols. Idols can be anything in our lives that we love more than God. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask God to show us. Ask him, say, show me, Lord, if there's any idols in my life, because he wants to cleanse us. God wants to cleanse us completely, make us holy, purify my heart. Now, our idols can be our family, husband, wife, children, grandchildren. It can be wealth. Sometimes we don't even realize that these things have a hold on us. We don't realize it. It can be power. You want to be powerful. You want to be impressive. It can be status. You want to have all these titles. It can be sport. It can be consumerism. We're living in a time of consumerism, where you must just get, and everything you turn to. Then we've got technology, social media. That is actually quite serious. People aren't talking to each other anymore. People aren't engaging anymore. We are human beings. God created us to interact, to engage, to communicate, to laugh, to talk, to enjoy. But somehow the screen has taken over that. We need to be cleansed by God. We need God to help us to have self-control, to discern these things. The first step is come. The second step is drink. Jesus says, come and drink. You know, so come, sorry, under come, I just want to come back to come. Maybe you have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Then Jesus invites you as well. He says, come to me, come. And he says, Jesus can be your Savior and your Lord. If you've never done it, it's important that you do that. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then you walk a road with him. You are in a relationship with you. Most of us have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, but maybe not all of us have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. He wants to save us. He wants to deliver us from sin. He wants to translate us into his family. If you have never received Jesus, you can speak to myself or one of the elders or one of the leaders or anybody, and we can help you and pray with you and guide you there. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now in this passage, Jesus says, he speaks of the living waters. And John, just before that, in John chapter 6, before that, he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes on me shall never thirst. So we've got these two, hunger and thirst. He didn't repeat it here because it's referring to the Holy, but early on he speaks about it. When Jesus told them that he's the bread of life, the authorities were not happy. The Pharisees were not happy. They couldn't understand it. But to us, he is the bread of life. He is the one who will satisfy our souls. He is the one who will sustain our souls. The second one is when we drink by receiving his spirit. Lord, I receive you. Come, Holy Spirit. It's not it doesn't have to be an emotional thing. It's something by faith. Holy Spirit, I receive you. I believe, Lord. Thank you that you sent your spirit. I receive it. You believe his promise and you thank him in faith. And sometimes you need to maybe spend some time and just believe and just thank him and worship him and believe that he is pouring out his spirit upon you. We need to stop drinking from substitutes. The substitutes cannot satisfy our souls. We can try and do this and do that, but inside your soul needs to be satisfied alone by the Spirit. Because that's where the Spirit was meant to be, inside of you, deep inside of you. Now Jesus offers rivers of living water. Not to some of us, to all of us, all believers, to all people who will come to Him. Whoever will come to Jesus, He says, come, He says, and out of your, if you believe, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, wherever a river flows, there is life. Where a river flows, there's fertility. Where a river flows, things are going to grow. Towns and places, a lot of places are developed around a river. A farm is close to a river. So your life ought to be a river of living water. Wherever you are, in your home, at the shop, in your business, that river needs to flow. Wherever you are. Now Jesus doesn't say, come and get a little trickle, come and get a drop, come and get a 1 liter. He says, rivers. Have you seen a river that's flowing well? There's life and there's noise. You can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, it's bubbling. You know that song? It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. It's singing and shouting since Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand me. They cannot keep me quiet because it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling within my soul. So if you have been trying to live for God in your own strength, surrender again. Surrender. We all fall short. We come in a good place and then we kind of get caught up, we get busy. All of us. We just have to come back, align ourselves again. Realign again. You know, because we are exposed to a lot of things and a lot of distractions. So this message is for me first. God, I've been wrestling with this message, I don't know how long and how God has been dealing with me. But it's for all of us. It's for me included. We need to just surrender ourselves. We cannot live this life in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. And I want to say, as I've spoken earlier, Doreen emphasized what I'm saying here, that eternal life begins now. Some people think you receive eternal life, you're looking forward to only when we get to heaven, it's going to be wonderful rejoicing. It's going to be marvelous in heaven, it's going to be great. But right now, we can experience that joy. Amidst our trials, amidst our challenges, this river can flow. Amidst the storms, the river can flow. God wants us to experience it today and every day. The third point is, Jesus says, we must believe. We must trust His word and His identity. Who's given the promise? God Almighty, the creator of the universe. When we trust His word, Jesus also said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. And we know Jesus is that bread of life. So we must eat of that bread. We must enjoy it. We must be thankful. We must take time. God is faithful. Faithful, what He has promised, He will certainly do. Even if we can't see it, by faith we believe it. Now in Jeremiah 31, 33 to 34, Jeremiah also quotes this new covenant. But in there, he's got another part he adds on. He says, God said, He will put it in our minds, the law in our minds, and He will write it on our hearts. Now we can't see it. Remember that on the tablets that the finger of God wrote on the stones with Moses? But God says He's written it on our hearts. Now, it may not feel like that. How did God write in my heart? I don't feel up to God's standard, and I can't see the law written. But Dr. Andrew Murray explains it very nicely. He says, he helps me understand it better. He says, it's like invisible ink. If you write in something with invisible ink, the person who doesn't understand the process won't know how to read it. They won't see anything there. But if you take it under a light or you take it under some chemical reaction, you'll be able to read. It's the same thing with our hearts. It's written there. So when we bring it under God's light and God's reaction, it's going to come forth. It's there. So what we need to say is, thank you, God, for my new heart. Thank you, God, for my new spirit. As the psalmist said, he said, oh God, how I love thy law. You may not feel like it, but declare it in faith because it's inside of you. The love for God's word is inside of you. So declare it And make it your own. If you're not hungry, ask God to create a hunger within you, a hunger for a deeper experience, for greater love, victory over sin. Sin also, anxiety, fears, lies we've believed. We've grown up with a lot of lies that have been planted in our minds that are hindering us from becoming all that God wants us to become. The fourth point I'm going to go very quickly is, the fourth point is open ourselves. We open ourselves to the flow of the Holy Spirit. We allow, as Jesus promised, rivers of living water. So in faith we can say, thank you, Lord, for your rivers that are flowing within me. I don't feel it, but it's there. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And you yield. And let the Spirit do only what God can do. Because it is God who renews the heart and the spirit. Our role is faith and obedience. We must be transformed by the renewing of our minds by the Word of God. God works in season and out of season. We feel it. For us, it's in season, out of, as it's written in Timothy. So in season, it feels, you don't feel like you sense God. Nothing's happening. In season, we on a high. Everything is wonderful. We're praising God. We're great. Out of season, it seems like nothing's happening. Don't despair. God is still at work when you feel it and when you don't feel it. As my brother shared, God is at work with us. It's not only the outer things we do, the public things we do. It's inside of us. Perseverance, patience, believing God, holding on to Him. So we need to surrender, and the surrender is daily, moment by moment. We're practicing His presence, positioning our hearts for transformation. I'm going to stop right there because of time, but those other things is basically that God has provided spiritual disciplines to help us, to open us up to His working, and for us to grow in faith. Those disciplines we know, it's like giving, fasting, prayer, seeking His kingdom, witnessing. We grow in our actions. When we are serving, there's a change happening inside of us, a change in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits. So we have to be active. We must participate. We are not called to be spectators. All of us must participate. We are all being gifted by God, gifted by the Holy Spirit. So we all have not just something, we all have a lot to give. Not just something. We need your skills. Somebody's needed for the computer. Somebody's needed to help make tea, wash dishes. Somebody's needed to greet people. Somebody's needed to do. There's a lot of things we can do, which all make a beauty in God's kingdom. So I'm going to stop there because I think we've spoken the most important things is allowing God to speak to us directly through His Word and His Spirit. Enjoying His company. In Isaiah 55, verse 1 to 3, Isaiah also says, come. And God invites us. He says further in verse 3, eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest fare. Eat what is good. You will enjoy God and enjoy God's word, enjoy God's presence as you spend time in His word. After a Sunday morning service, I will encourage you in the week, take time to listen to the message or your notes you've made. Revisit your notes you've made or the scripture verses. And say, God, what is your word to me? Because the preacher who stands here or here and shares, they're sharing a broad message they've received from God. But you as an individual, God has got a specific message for you that must bring life. It's called a rhema word. God must reveal it to you. And out of all these actions, these rivers will flow. And we'll be able to recognize and testify God is alive. God is real. So let's bow our heads. Is God speaking to you today through His word? If God is speaking to you, not for me, you just raise your hand and you respond to Him and we will pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you that this word is for each and every one of us. Thank you that there's something unique for each of us, something special for each of us. Thank you, Lord, that this morning we are all here because we desire more of you, because we want to learn more of you, because we want to follow you more closely. Father, I pray for each one who has indicated and responded to you a special prayer and say, Holy Spirit, continue to minister to each one, continue to encourage and inspire, continue to refresh. We come to you, Jesus, the fountain of living water. And you said, as we come to you out of our innermost being, rivers of living water will flow through our bellies. And Lord, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing our closing song. Thank you.
Rivers of living water. Before we're going to sing, I just want to welcome. It's newcomers and it's also visitors and friends. So we thank God that He made it possible for you to be here this morning with us. And remember, where you are sitting right now, your place is going to be empty if you're not going to come back next week. Okay? So you're welcome once again. God bless. We're going to sing our last song about His faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand had provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand had provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
It's to the benediction. May the God who is faithful to every covenant promise, give you a new heart, renew your spirit, and fill you afresh with His Holy Spirit. May the Lord Jesus Christ, the true covenant keeper, satisfy your deepest thirst and cause His living water to flow within you. May the Holy Spirit empower you to walk faithfully, to trust boldly, to obey joyfully, as you live in the fullness of God's unbreakable love. And as you go, may the faithfulness of God surround you.
Jesus.
The grace of Christ sustain you.
Yes.
And the presence of the Spirit lead you into all that God has promised. Amen.